This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
This episode contains a discussion on domestic violence and references to drug misuse. If you're affected by anything in this podcast, please see the episode notes for details of organisations who can help.
I just want to say this to my mum who will be listening. I just want to thank you for everything you've done for us. You used to smile when I knew that you didn't want to smile. We may not have had a lot of money, but you tried everything to make all three of us happy. When you didn't want to laugh with us and I could see that you were hurt and broken, you still picked us up and taught us the right things in life. What happened to us as children was never your fault. And what's happened to our brother now is never your fault. We will get through this as a family because we have done. But I want to tell you something, that I will always, always love you. And what happened to you when I was younger, I am so sorry that I couldn't save you. I love you with all my heart.
Oh, the influence. We have got an extremely special episode for you today. There is a man, and it is fair to say he is one of my Instagram idols. I am so in awe of this guy. I am like a little fangirl at a One Direction concert, and it's like we've got a running Harry Styles here in front of us. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce Del. I'm so happy you're here, Del. This is going to be a hell of an episode.
Hey, Freddie. That was an intro, wasn't it, Freddie? Hi, guys. How are you?
I am all the better for seeing and hearing you, my friend.
Freddie, you're too kind, mate.
Del, how are you, Chaz? Having you on here. Well, a huge welcome, as Freddie says, to this episode of Over the Influence. If you've never heard us before and you've just tuned in, first of all, where have you been? But secondly, just a quick introduction of who we are before we get chatting to Del. My name's Sharon Hartley. I am from the northwest of England and just bloody loving alcohol-free life. Words I never thought I would say just over 2 years ago. We've just heard from Freddie. Freddie, where are you up to?
I am coming up to 600 days alcohol-free. I used to be the guy that worked hard and played even harder, but then I thought, why not see what I could achieve in my life in terms of goals, in terms of happiness, in terms of family, if I kick the booze for a while. And that was almost 600 days ago, and I haven't looked back, even though my family is screaming in the background.
The joys of recording at home.
If I keep going on mute, that's why, because World War III is happening outside in this background somewhere.
And of course, we've got our producer... Well, we call him Background Ben. I've never really liked that name because I like him more in the foreground because it's lovely to see him. Background Ben, our producer, who since listening to myself and Freddie banging on for the last sort of 15 episodes of Over the Influence, has now decided to take up his own alcohol-free journey. And you've just hit a milestone as well, Ben.
Yeah, I last week hit my 3 months, which actually coincides with
Perfect.
Del.
Perfect.
We kind of started yes. pretty much around the same time, didn't we, Del?
Yes, we did. Well done, Ben. Yeah, I hit 3 months yesterday.
Congratulations, mate.
Woo, woo, big, woo. Big up yourself, as we like to say, Over the Influence.
Big up, Shazza.
So that's us in a nutshell, but enough about us. As Freddie said, we are really delighted to have Delroy Taylor on this episode of Over the Influence. And we virtually met Del via Instagram, via our social media accounts. And it's fair to say, and I've used this analogy before or this saying before during the podcast, that the opposite of addiction is connection. And this is a really, really good example of this. Delroy, shut me up and just jump in and tell us a bit about yourself, who you are, what you're up to, and a bit about your life.
Hi, guys. Anyway, I just want to say a massive thank you for inviting me on your podcast. I'm still in shock now. I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not nervous, because if you see me probably about 20 minutes ago, I think this is on par as I am starting a
Don't
race or a
nervous.
Marathon. So, yeah, I'm Del. And like Ben's just said, I've just
reached 3 months alcohol-free yesterday. Yay. So I'm over the moon. Whoop, whoop, whoop. on the internet, on Instagram, I'm known as Bunny Pacer. I run a lot. That's my hobby. I run to help me with my mental health day and just to keep fit, really. One day I came across my friend, we were chatting about podcasts and stuff, and Over the Influence came up, said, oh, you need to go and listen to this podcast. And I'm like, no, I do not. Thank you. So secretly at home, I thought, I'm going to check this out because that's what I'm like. Started to listen to a couple of the episodes and I was just like, I can't believe this. This is weird. Like I say on the internet and my videos, everything happens for a reason. And I still feel that I was meant to meet you guys and connect with you guys. And the podcast has just been a godsend for me. And I mean that, and I couldn't thank you guys enough for it. It's changed me. Even though I was changing and didn't realise I was changing, this has just topped it off. And now I'm ready to keep going on with the high. And it's not always highs. As you know, there's some lows, but I'm not stopping. And no matter what I'm faced with, I'm going to keep going and going and going until I reach my goal. And I don't know what the goal is, but I'm just going to keep going. So thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks so
flipping
much, Del. That's amazing feedback.
Stop.
Easy, put the tissues away. Come on, Rich.
I know. Yeah, that means so much to us to know that what started off as a bit of a crazy idea is having such a positive impact on people. And but you know what, I don't think we've done anything. I think all of the hard work and the commitment and the determination is all from you, Del, because you started that on that day 90 days ago and just said, you know what, enough is enough, let's see what life is all about, and look at you now. I think you're absolutely smashing it.
Thank you guys, means a lot, really does.
Del, obviously we started around the same time. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that your mate said you need to listen to this is my first question, and secondly, why did you then go and do it?
So for a long time I've thought about giving up alcohol, but through my lifestyle and my friends who I love to bits, you know, I was just never thought that one that I had an issue or any problems. And for me to come on this podcast today is probably the biggest thing that I've ever done in my life, because like in my videos and my Instagram posts, and like I said to you guys, it's about keeping it real. And when I told my mates I wanted to give up alcohol, they just laughed because they're like, there's no way that you can do that, because I was always the first person at the bar buying 20 Jaeger bombs. And then the next 20 would come before anybody's got their wallet out. So my friends have got so used to me drinking, being funny, doing stupid dances, and I just needed to do it. And sometimes you just got to say to your friends, you know what? I might lose a couple of friends. I might not. But this is what I need to do. And that's why I secretly subscribed and started to listen to Over the Influence.
Del, it's a really brave thing to do. And, you know, we've talked many times on this podcast about how we were all sort of former party starters, the first to arrive at the bar, the first to get the shots in, the first to fall asleep in the bar, you know, first to peek too soon, been there, done that, first to vomit down the T-shirt, all of it. So every credit to you for having the balls to do it, because it's not easy, is it, Del?
No, it's not easy, because it's a massive part of our lives, and it's everywhere. Wherever we go, it's there. We lunch, it's dinner. It's the first time you suddenly become a man or a lady, you have to drink. Mm. And it's just so hard to escape. And I would class myself as a man's man. I used to like football. I like going to I'm a season ticket holder at the rugby. Rugby means you go drinking before the game. And now I still go drinking, but I'm drinking non-alcoholic. And it's a scary thing, because you feel like you're going to be on your own. As you know, it is scary. And I would love to say that it's just the alcohol, I can't moderate, but I'd be lying, because there's reasons why I can't moderate. And over the last year, I've now faced my own demon, and I'm ready to tackle it now.
I know exactly what you mean, Del. And you know, obviously, as a, you know, I'm obviously a man's man, and you know, a very red blooded macho. Don't laugh, Shazza.
Excuse me, sorry, I had something in my throat.
I'm a fabulous macho man, I'll have you know. And I think it is difficult because you do create this persona and it is about getting with your mates and there's so much wrapped up in that. And I don't mean this the way it sounds, but when you have a group of guys and there's so much history and so many stories and so many in-jokes that no one else outside of that tight circle would even understand or even probably want to understand. Mm-hmm. And when you go in there and almost disrupt that system or that way of life, if you say, you know, guys, we've had a great time, but I'm going to be here and I'm not going to be drinking. I think that takes so much guts and determination because you go into that, you know, you're going to get people asking you why, you know, you're going to get people laughing at you or telling you that you can't do it, just as you said. And I think to be able to stand up and say, you know what, I am going to do something different and I still love you all, but I'm going to do this for me is such a powerful mm-hmm. thing.
The thing is, we're so used to as well, you know, we go to bars and we see people falling over drunk. We straight away as a community, we're like, oh my God, look at that person steaming drunk, falling over at the bar, or look at her there, blah, blah, blah. But really, until you wake up in the morning, none of us know exactly why that person is like that. We just assume they've gone out on a night out and they've had too much to drink. But in my case, every time that I drank was to hide my fear, you know, and the dancing, the jokes, the not coming home till 6 in the morning was all because I didn't know how to face my fear. And the only way I could do that was to keep drinking and drinking and drinking. And the next 3 days was just not worth it. It's not worth the pain.
No, definitely not. As you say, then you get the anxiety and I was certainly there when you're just hating yourself and hating the world and everything else. And you think, I know what will make me feel better. Mm-hmm. I'll have a drink. And then you start on that cycle over and over again.
Yeah, that's true. It's all started for the last 7 months. I've been trying to battle with covering, hiding up things that have been happening to me over the years. And over the years, since a child, I've done things and I've seen things. And the things that I've done over the years, I'm not proud of. I can't change it, but it's all because of what happened to me as a child. And when I was, you can picture it. My mum was a single parent. There was three of us. I'm the eldest, and my brothers, my two brothers, all with 2 years in between. We were from a council estate. I'm not saying that everyone from a council estate hasn't got money, but we didn't have much money. But what we did have, we had the love from my mum. And the community in a council estate is amazing, you know. The group of friends that I had then, I still have 30 years later. I've still got the same friends that I can call up if I'm in need of a help because it was a community. But the one thing is, when I was a child and growing up in the 80s, you couldn't say much. You couldn't act like you were scared. You couldn't say this was happening to me because people would take the mickey out of you. We would rip you because you had to stand up. So we had to, we were not almost fighting to be to love, but that's just we had to do that as a family. It all started from when I remember when I was about 6, my mum's boyfriend, we were fine. He used to come to our house every other weekend. And even if I try to think about it now and talk about it, it like just makes me get a lump in my throat because this one person in my life has ruined my whole life and took away my childhood. But I'm still standing and I'm still smiling. When you wake up on a Saturday morning and you can hear thumps going on in the bedroom and you think, what's that noise there? What's that? Something's happening then. And then you realise when you go downstairs that your mum's trying to talk to you with her back to you. I ask her when I was, what's wrong, mum? She turns around and her face is all bruised and cut above her eye. And that's the first time I remember it all starting. And I think it just went on. I can't remember any different. I just remember my mum just being used as a human punch bag. And the thing is, I'm scared now because my mum's going to be listening to this podcast. And all of our life, my mum and me have never sat and spoke about this because we know not to speak about it. because I'm the eldest and I never wanted my mum to be hurt. I don't want my mum to feel scared because I've always looked after my mum. So that's what I was saying about the beginning, that I'm nervous because even my children don't know about this and none of my friends. And I've said something's going to happen on this podcast that, you know, you must be prepared. And so for the time went on where my mum was just getting hit and hit and hit and I couldn't do anything. And my brothers were scared and to the point that, you know, they'd be running into my bedroom in the morning, holding me, crying, what's going on with mummy? And I didn't ever think that this bloke was ever going to put his hands on us, but he did. You know, it started off with a little hit here, a little hit there. And over time, it became such a habit, but it was the norm. It was the norm that if we took something without asking, he would then beat us, but beat us to the point that I couldn't even sit down. And it just went on. It went on for so long. And it went on to the point where my brothers would do something and I would take the blame because I was the eldest and I couldn't let them get the beatings for it. And it sticks in my head because, you know, if you walk somewhere, you can remember a smell, you can, or somebody's clothes, you can remember it for years. Now, there was a plum tree in our garden and I used to love plums, you know, because we didn't have much money. So you were out in the garden picking the plums. And my brother decided to eat some of the grapes that were in the fridge, as children do, we're only little. And he finished the grapes and I was in the garden. I remember it. I can still now to this day remember this man asking us who's eating the grapes. And I knew who had eaten the grapes, but I didn't want my little brother to get hurt. So I said I did. And I remember him going to the garden and pulling off a branch from the tree and came in and he literally was just beating me and my brother. My little brother never got touched. And the pain that I felt that day, I can remember it and I can close my eyes now and I can see it and I can hear it and I can hear my mum screaming, telling him to stop. And he didn't. And that went on for years. And I remember that day going to school and all I wanted to do was tell the teachers what had happened, but I couldn't, because if I told the teachers what had happened, they would obviously contact my mum and my mum would have a go at me because she didn't want no one to know, because she knew that we couldn't go anywhere because if he found out, he would beat us again. And it happened so many times that I couldn't even do PE because I couldn't take my clothes off because I couldn't let anybody see the marks or the bruises. And that went on for years. And we tried, my mum, bless her, tried to escape a few times, even though it was her house. And she kept going back because she was scared and called the police. And it went on for so long. To the point that in the end, he finally left when we were older. But I remember going into the bedroom when I was about 15 and leaning over his face and saying to him, when I become a man, I'm going to kill you. And that is the last time I spoke to him and never seen him ever again. And yeah, and that was it. But that was just the start of it. That was the start of the problems and the problems that I just hid away. Yeah.
Wow, Dale. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing that with
quite
us.
A story.
Yeah. And at any point, you know, if as Ben has, you know, reassured you from the beginning, we don't have to use it. You know, that's down to you. Mm. That's up to you. But thank you for sharing that with us. Obviously, you know, it's an awful situation. After living through that as a child and a teenager, Dale, do you relate that to drinking alcohol?
Yeah, because from then, I close my eyes now and I can see my whole life gone through to now. And like I said, I'm a great believer. Everything happens for a reason. And this man took something away from me and my brother and my mum that I will never, ever get back. But what it's done, it's turned a negative into a positive. Because I'm the way I am now, the way that I'm a fighter, the way I laugh at things, the way nothing will ever, ever beat me. Because what he did to me, nothing can ever hurt me. And this is the way I've coped with things. If you ask me to run 100 miles tomorrow with a broken leg, I will guarantee I will run 100 miles. Because in the back of my head, I'm not thinking that I'm going to quit. I'm thinking about him. Because every time I can't do something, I can hear him saying to me, you can't do this, you can't do this. And that is why I complete everything that I set out to do. It might kill me, but that's the only reason. And I still got that to this day.
Del, we've only known you, I say known, a short amount of time, really. You know, you've got strength, positivity, just so fierce on your social media. And that's what came across to us. And I think that's what drew us to you. And now we're seeing this in the way you're tackling, you know, improving your life, removing alcohol from your life. Obviously, we have more of an understanding now what fires you on. But every credit to you, Del, for taking that, tackling it head on and doing it with incredible strength.
Thank you. Yeah, I really appreciate it. If you struggled in life like millions of people have, and you've gone through physical abuse, sexual abuse, racism, everything in life, we always say, you know, there's somebody out there worse off than us. And I'm not sharing the story because I want people to go, oh gosh, that's really bad. Because it's not bad, because what happened to me made me who I am. But I just want one person out there to think, you know what? If it's a man, if it's a woman, if it's a mum or dad, if it's children, I just want people to realise that we can't push things under the carpet, you know. If it was now, I probably would have had help. But back then, there wasn't any help, you know. You just had to get on with it. And that's what I did. And I did. I got on with it. But the story gets sadder and sadder because I then started to grow up, but I met my previous wife with my children's mother, and I had children young. She was 8 years older than me, and I had my first child at 19, which was young, but I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, I love my children. But deep down, I was still a child in my head because I just knew that I wanted to have children because I knew that I could treat my children better than this man did. My mum was everything to me, but this man tried to hurt me, tried to break me. And I just knew that in my head, that if I have children, I'm going to be the best dad in the world. And that's how it started to go. But unfortunately, I was young, and I started drinking when I was about 15, going out uptown, not trying to get caught, going out my bedroom window. But I was drinking because it was hiding the pain. And I didn't realise then. It's only in the last few years I've realised that why I was drinking. And I had children young. I had my second child when I was 21. And life was great until I started to go out more. Finish work on a Friday, going out. My wife would say, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going out. And because I was getting told I couldn't go out, I was like, I am. Because I thought the world owed me. And I had no feelings. I didn't. Because I care about everybody and I wouldn't hurt anybody. But back then, I just didn't care. I mean, I used to say to people, my mum loves me and that's all that matters. And because it was just me and my mum, and I was growing into a man, but deep down, I was still a child who had missed all of his childhood because of one man. And unfortunately, the drinking then I used to not come home till 4 or 5 in the morning. And then you can imagine, you know, I was with somebody, I had children, and I look back and we had good times and we had bad times, but I would say 90% of it was all my fault, you know. And if I could say, we get on fine now, my children's mum, but yeah, it was my fault. I put my hands up. But it wasn't my fault. It was that man's fault for what he did to me and my brothers and my mum. He made me that way. And if I could turn back time, I would. I'd say sorry to everybody that I've hurt, because my marriage was on and off with my relationship with my first wife. On and off, on and off, on and off. Getting drunk all the time. Women getting drunk all the time. Women. And that's what I did for years. And I'm not proud of it. But I can't say sorry anymore. Because I put my hands in the air. I wasn't in a good place. I'm not proud of that. But deep down, it wasn't my fault. And that's what eats me sometimes, because I'm not that sort of person. And along that journey then was while I was having children and going through all of this and being an idiot and drinking and trying to be a dad, my brother below me started to struggle. He started to struggle mentally, getting himself into trouble. So not only was I still coping with what happened to me as a child, I'm now trying to look after my own children and my wife, but also my brother. And unfortunately, it's been 20 years now. My brother's been in and out of jail. And then the last time we had a phone call saying he withdrew himself, smashed up his cell. And that's the last time I see my brother normal. Sadly, he was he's now a schizophrenic. And I've never spoken to him since he was 21. And all this time now, up until a few weeks ago, he's basically been in and out of care homes. He's had social care, trying to take his medication every day, gone missing every Christmas. Nobody knows where he is. He's gone down to he was exactly like me. He loved clothes. He loved having a laugh. He looked smart. He's now probably 6 stone, lost all of his teeth. And for the last year, I've tried to find him because I've always had to find him. So I've been, every year I've been looking for him, trying to get him out of places that he shouldn't be. And I had a phone call not long back saying my brother was seen in this town. And I haven't told anybody. A couple of people that obviously my family know, but it broke my heart to tell my mum. I was driving through the town trying to look for my brother. And I seen this person hanging out of a bin. And I thought, he just looks a bit familiar from behind. Pulled over, and there it was, my brother. My brother was in a bin getting some food and stuff. Cut story short, I went back the next day, tried to find out where he was living because he just flew off. He's in a shared house where the government had put him in there. The council had put him in there because of they didn't want any homeless people through COVID. And I've been back there to give him money and to buy him shopping. And it's so sad because everything that's happened to us as a family, I know deep down that that man ruined all of us, but he's ruined my brother. And my mum, when she hears this, will probably break down in tears because she knows this, but there's nothing I can do anymore. And I've said from the start, I don't expect him to live a long life, and I can never ask him if he's okay because, or talk about what happened with my children because he doesn't take his medication anymore. And so, yeah, it's everything's just gone round in a circle, and for what?
It's amazing hearing all that, Del. I think just in terms of your story and all these different things to go through, and thank you so much for sharing that. And there's so many things that I want to say, and I just want to give you a hug, to be honest, a man hug, and maybe one day, hopefully, we will. One thing I wanted to pick up on, and so I recognise a lot of that story as well, and my own story is something for another day. But in terms of all the amazing things that you've done, like you say, that incredible mindset that you have now in terms of nothing will beat you, you will go forward, and I 100% believe that, and as I say, I certainly recognise it. It's that never quit, will suffer through anything attitude. And I think firstly, it's so amazing that that has come out of such a terrible situation, because sometimes you have to look for the good in it, and I think you have found the good, and you've seized on the good, and you've built from it, and that's so amazing to see. And I wanted to ask you if this was something you recognised, because I think I've a bit of that mindset myself as well for various reasons in my growing up. And do you think that you potentially took some of that mindset when it came to drinking? And and set the context, I know I absolutely did that, in terms of that I'll never quit a race. I'll go 100 miles without stopping. For me, it used to be I'll drink without stopping. I'll do 3 nights in a row. I'll never miss, a trip to the bar or anything. And do you think there were some parallels there, but you've managed to channel it in such a more positive direction?
Yeah, the thing is, as you know, Freddie, once you start having a few drinks, the first hour, you're like, yeah, I'm loving this. And regardless of the drink, I like to be funny. I think I'm funny. Some people might say I'm stupid, but I like that. But I have friends who can drink me under the table. Don't get me wrong. There's millions of people. I'm not the biggest drinker. But when I drank, every time I drank, it was just like, yeah, you know, excuse my French. I was like, up yours. Yeah, to him. In my head, I was like, up yours. I can do what I want. I'm a man. I'm going to get drunk. And I'm going to get drunk hard because I can do that and you can't stop me. And it just, alcohol just hides everything from me. It just makes me feel... It made me feel great. It made me feel like nothing in this world didn't matter. But soon as I started to realise what I was destroying and the thoughts that were going through my head, it's not right. Because every time I got drunk and I wanted to go to that person's house and do him some harm, yeah? And the only thing that stopped me from doing this all my life is my mindset. I didn't want to leave my kids without a dad. I didn't want to go to prison for a long time for something I did do, but I didn't do. It wasn't my fault. And then the drinking's just drinking, you know. And I want to say to you, yes, it's just drink. All I do is drink, but it's not. It's everything else that comes with drinking. Yeah. Drinking gets you happy. Drinking then gets you sad. In between that, you always need something to pick you up. And that was my downfall. You know, I have a good life, but I live in a town where if I want something in town, it takes me 2 seconds. Wherever we go, somebody is always offering you something to forget about things. And that is simple. Recreational drugs are everywhere. And as soon as I had 2 drinks or 3 drinks, that's it. Straight away. Before I know it, I was in the back of a toilet doing something that I just thought, what am I doing? But I couldn't stop. I can't stop because I didn't want to stop because I was feeling on top of the world. Mm. And before I know it, the buzz had gone. 2 hours. Guess what? Let's do it again. I'm back up, back down. And that's how it happens every time. Not every time, but most of the times that I got drunk. And the day afterwards, the feeling afterwards was just horrific. Horrific. And I knew that if I didn't stop drinking, when am I ever going to stop anything else? And I would never do any recreational drug when I'm sober. Though, why would I? I'm a healthy guy. I would not do that. So how come alcohol makes me do that? And that is one of the reasons why I said enough is enough. Yeah.
You know what, Dale? We've got, hopefully, a guy called Lee Butler coming on as a guest in a couple of weeks. Lee is, because I live in Liverpool, he's an absolute legend here. He's been a DJ for years, like in clubs and on the radio. He runs Reminisce Festival as well. That's his thing. He's just launched a radio station. But, you know, for years and years, he was in big party scene. And he won't mind me saying this because he's really open and honest on his own social media and whatever else. I was on the phone to him the other day and he was talking to me about cocaine addiction. And what he was saying about that was that, because lots of people come to him now, he's quite open about the fact that he got himself in a really bad place for a lot longer than I think he'd like to think about. He's been clean now for 3 years, I think, and he's really got his, you know, he's an amazing guy. Like, he's so successful. But he was saying that when people say to him, look, you know, I really want to stop snorting coke, he says to them, great, you've got to stop drinking as well.
Yeah, exactly, Ben. And the thing is, years ago, we'd always go associate with cocaine as, oh, the rich man drug. But to me, it's easy to buy cocaine, easier than it is to buy a newspaper. You know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And to me, it's like having a cup. I don't drink tea or coffee now, but it's like having a cup of tea with a rich tea biscuit. You know, it doesn't matter. If I have one pint, I'm okay. Any more than 2 pints, before I know it, it started. The party has started because it's the norm. That's all I've known over the years because that's it. And it's horrible. And you have to make the decision. You can carry on drinking, which is fine. And you've got to stop that. Or you've got to stop that and then also give up drink. And that's the route I've gone because that's not me as a person. I don't want to be controlled by something because of what somebody did to me when I was a child.
Dale, I think this is what makes it even more remarkable. You know, I know we came on at the beginning of the podcast and it's like, a big up, Dale, he's hit 90 days and he's doing fantastic. You've since obviously shared the reasons why you drank, why you took recreational drugs, and your achievement, not just to me, but I'm sure to Ben and Freddie as well, it's pretty breathtaking given what you've been through. And it's just quite amazing to see the turnaround and, you know, your continued positivity, because this is only just the beginning for you, from what I can tell.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, as I've just said then, I don't want to be that person. You know, I have nothing against anybody who drinks alcohol. I have nothing against anybody who takes drugs. If you're in control of that, then, you know, do what you got to do. But put your hand up in the air and say, do you know what? This isn't doing me any favours. It takes a bigger man, a bigger woman. You know, it's not good, because hiding behind something is just putting it under the carpet for now. And yes, I wanted to give up both. But this year, this is what did it for me, because I've now started to realise that I can open up. I'm 43 and this is the only time. If you ask anybody who knows me, I'm black or white. You know, I say it as it is. If you don't like it, then don't ask. But there's one thing that you'll never hardly see me do, and that is cry. And I'm honest with you, because when I was younger, every time that this person done something bad to me or my mum, every time that I cried as a child, I used to get hit harder. So after a while, you just became numb. And I just did. You can beat me for as long as you want, and I'm not going to cry. And I'm happy now, because I'm starting to watch things on television now, and I'm starting to feel a bit emotional. I'm like, oh my God, that's weird. Like, that's not me. And I'd get up straight away, or, you know, if someone's talking to me, and I think, I'm starting to choke up a little bit. And I like that. And I like that person now, because that's how you're meant to be. And this year was the turning point for me, because I don't even want to say unfortunately, because I don't care. But this person passed away. And the emotions that I felt when I found that out was the weirdest feeling ever, because there was so much hate in it, because I never got the chance to say what I wanted. And I will never get the chance. I didn't know what to do. I just wanted to get drunk. And I wanted to get drunk and then just don't know what I wanted. I just wanted to go mental, really. And I did. I didn't care about anybody else. But the problem was, I sat on my own to think about it for days and days. And this person took my life away from me and my brothers and my mum's. Took it away, took my childhood away, which I'll never get back. Made me into something that I wasn't. Now I'm apologising when I'm 43. My brother is homeless. His mental health is bad and he's not going to live long. And how can somebody do that? How can somebody ruin a child's life, never say sorry, and then have the nerve or the audacity to suddenly just die? See you later. Thank you for another life. And for 2 weeks after that, my head was in bits and I wanted to talk to someone about it. And I still never. And I didn't, because I've never had to talk to anybody, because I've dealt with it on my own, you know, and I'm proud. And guess what? That person's gone now. And I said to myself, after listening to your podcast, there's no better time or day to give up drinking. And I thought, you know what? This is the time now. He is not going to hold anything over me. I'm giving up alcohol because I don't want to drink, because of a reason that what he did to me, I don't want it anymore. He hurt me. But I don't want to drink because of that reason. What I want to do is I want to try and give up alcohol for 365 days. If I decide to drink after that, I'm going to drink as a normal person. I'm going to have a glass of wine because I just want to be a normal person. But I know me, and if I get to 365 days, I won't be drinking again. But that's because it's my choice. It's my decision to do something, and I'm not controlled anymore by this aggressive, disgusting human being. This is my choice. So I stopped drinking because my life started when I stopped drinking. I'm now living a life as a normal person. I'm not a scared child anymore. I'm 43. I've said sorry to the people that need to know that I'm sorry. And all I can do now is be a better person and a better friend, a better dad. But there's my part of my life is missing at the moment. My eldest son, we haven't spoke properly for probably 3 years. I missed his graduation and he's probably going to listen to this. He might listen to it, he might not. And I don't want to say sorry to him, because what I did, he didn't know. He didn't know what the reasons why I did it. And he's like me. He loves his mum, and he should do. And that's the way we brought them up. I wasn't proud what I did when he was younger and stuff. And I put my hands up in the air, and I wish I could turn back the time for that. But I just wanted my son to know.
Just take your time, Dale. Take your time.
Excuse me. I just wanted my eldest son to know that I love him with all my heart, and if I could change anything, I would. But I can't, and all I can do is move on from that and be a better person. So I moved on from it, and I went to my other son's meal, and we said hello. So that to me is a massive step. You know, it's not an excuse to try and get out or come on a podcast and say, listen to me. I just love my kids. I love them more than anything. And he's got the right to feel the way he has. He wasn't right in some of the things he said, but he was right in some of them. And I have to put my hands up to that and say, you know what? We've brought it the right way. Parents come first. And hopefully one day we can get back to how we were.
Dale, like, listening to everything you said, you know, you can't change the past, but obviously we can all change what happens next. I think what's been really shocking for me is how quickly I have changed, even in just 3 months. We're in the same kind of point in our alcohol-free journeys. I can't believe how different I am as a person, even just 3 months in. And I was so sceptical that I would ever feel that way. Because how in such a short amount of time can one change make you so different? But I know that I'm kinder, I'm more patient, I'm more motivated, I listen better. It's not because I haven't got a hangover, it's because this kind of fog of alcohol has left me. And the first time I saw it actually was on Spencer Matthews's Instagram. The guy used to be on Only Way is Essex, now runs his own gin, alcohol-free gin brand. And he said, it giving up alcohol changes who you are. I remember reading it going, no, it doesn't. What are you on about? Just have a few drinks. Do you feel like, even in just this short amount of time, you have changed as a person? Or am I over-egging the pudding?
No, Ben, you're not. And the weirdest thing is, and you can all vouch for this, is because I've been drinking since I was 15. And then when I wake up now on Saturday mornings and I go off with the dogs for a walk and I stand in that field and it's just me and the trees are moving, I can smell the grass, I'm looking around and I feel like I've had an out-of-body experience. And it's like, I want to tell everybody, I want to keep, if you don't have a drink today, just try it for 1 week. I can't explain it, but you guys know, understand what I mean. And everybody else who's decided to give up alcohol for a week, a day or whatever it is, I seem to have more time now on my hands. The days are longer. I'm happier. I just love it. And I can't say it enough. I actually love life now. And I just love people. And I don't, I'm not going to rub it in anybody's nose to say you must give up alcohol. No, you don't. If you choose to stop, then ring me. Let's have a chat about it, because you'll understand what you're actually missing. And it's amazing, because now life just feels like, you know what? I've got so much life left to live. And yeah, and you know what? How much money can you save?
It is. It's phenomenal. I just want to pick up on what Ben said there as well, Dale. You know about Spencer Matthews, Ben, about removing alcohol changes who you are. I would slightly argue with that. Yeah. I would say it just reveals exactly who you are, because I used to think I was dead outgoing. I was, in your face, party starter over the top, I hated my own company, this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. It was all booze. It was all part of it. And then you start stripping it back.
Yeah.
And Del, as you were talking before about emotion and not crying and numbing it all out, you remove it and it just reveals like this onion, this beautiful red onion. Here you actually are. Freddie, I think this is your cue to sing.
Yeah, it's a...
Whoa. This is me. Sorry about this, Del.
I'm proud to sing that just for you, Del. You can probably tell.
But it does. It just strips everything back. And what you're left with, Ben, you know, you weren't mean in the first place. You weren't nasty to people. You are kind. You are this. You are that. It's just numbed and it's just fogged over by alcohol. Remove it and there you are in all your glorious technicolour.
I am an onion. No, but Del, in all seriousness, mate, you know, we've only met this Del and we think he's a top bloke.
Yeah, none of us can change what's happened in the past. Not one of us, but removing alcohol, we've got full control of the future. And you should be so bloody proud. Like Freddie said, we just want to squeeze you and give you a socially distanced hug, but we can't at the moment. And you should be proud. No. And I'm sure your family are proud of you. And you should just be really proud. And please, please, please just keep on doing what you're doing, because you're inspiring us along the way with your vlogs and your Instagram posts. You know, you are to us, you're Mr. Positivity. And that's why we wanted you on Over the Influence to share that, Del.
Thank you. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know what to, no, it's not making me blush for a start. I don't know. I can't thank you guys enough. And I just can't, because I can't even believe I'm actually on this podcast. And the other day when I was driving home and I was listening to the last episode, and then you gave me a shout out, I had to pull over because I actually did start getting emotional in the car. Yeah, I did. And I was just like, I just can't believe that what's happened in the whole of my life, I'm back. I'm here, and there's no way that you could have bet £1 million that I would have been on a alcohol journey podcast. No way. So I just thank you guys always, always, always. Just thank you, and I just can't wait to meet you. Basically,
you do realise though,
Del, believe me, like crikey, imagine presenting the bloody podcast. I pinch myself every day, and you know, 600 days ago, I'd be like you. Presenting it or co-hosting an alcohol-free pot. I would have thought I was having one of my Ibiza weekends, shall we say, and on some sort of spiritual journey.
And you realise, Del, now you've done this, you've come on the podcast, you know, there's no way you can balls this up. You will do 365, we know you will, because you can't come back and say to myself, Ben and Freddie, oh, I'm drinking now.
Yeah, exactly. No way, you know, like I've... Like I said before, and I said it in my Instagram videos, you know, everything in life happens for a reason. And after today, you know, if some people don't talk to me ever again, I totally understand that. If people think different of me, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm real now, and I've got nothing to hide. And we shouldn't hide, you know, because if we hide these emotions or our habits or, you know, anything, this is what causes problems, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And, you know, as I said, you know, we all have to just keep smiling. Just keep smiling and smiling, and everything will work out.
And Della, the question for me, if anyone's listened to this and they either recognise a lot from their own lives, or perhaps they know someone and they think, you know, that sounds like so-and-so, and either thinking I need to take a break from alcohol, or this person does, what advice would you give them, or what would you say to them?
You know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're actually thinking, wow, that sounds a little bit like me, you know, I think I might, that's it. Your answer's there. Mm. You know, none of us are here to say you need to do this. And there's no way that me, the lad who just laughs on the Instagram, I can't tell you anything. All I know is, whatever you're doing, if you ever think that something's not right, or it's affecting your family, your friends, your work, then that's the time to do it. And you know what? The best thing I ever did was podcast, listen to it. I didn't want to, but I did. And it's the best thing that I've ever done. And to all them mothers out there, them fathers, them children who are scared, you know, you don't have to be as scared on your own, and to make the plunge, to ask for help is the best thing that you can do, because I don't want parents to think, who have been in the same state, gone through what my mum did, to think, the children are hard, the children will get over this or put it under the carpet, because they don't. And this happened to me from the age of 6, and I'm here, 43 years of age, finally talking about it. So if you are listening, please ask for help. You know, that's all I can say, because no child should ever go through what I did. And at the end of the day, we need to stick together.
Absolutely.
Del, thank you.
No, I totally agree.
Flipping heck. Delroy Taylor, thank you so much. One, for bigging us up. It's just been so funny to hear that, you know, you listen to us in secret. I love that. And now look where you are. You're sharing our podcast with everybody. But on a serious note, thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. And just thank you for sharing your story from the heart. You know, we say that Over the Influence is all about honesty and saying it as it is, and you've done exactly that today. So, you know, on behalf of the three of us, we really do thank you. We appreciate your time and we appreciate your honesty, and we know that you, by sharing your story, will undoubtedly help somebody that's listening. So thank you for that. One heck of an episode, and do keep us posted, Del, on your progress. 90 days and counting.
Thank you, guys. And yeah, I will. Just thank you. Thank you for everything. And I'll leave it with, you know what? No matter what, let's keep smiling. Pick up your chest.
Excuse me, are you talking to me?
And Del, one final thing. Sorry, if people want to follow you and find out more about you, and I already follow you, if I could follow you twice, I would. But where can people find you?
So obviously on Facebook, it's Delroy Taylor. On Instagram, it's Bunny Pacer. Bunny _ Pacer.
Thanks again, Del. It was amazing. Pleasure to meet you at last.
Hello, it's Shaz from Over the Influence, and I wanted to let you know about just one aspect of our amazing online community. So I host a couple of Zoom sessions each week. I do one on a Friday evening when it used to be 1 o'clock for me, and another really early on a Saturday morning when I used to be hungover to hell thinking, not again. So in a nutshell, these Zoom calls, they're just brilliant. Our members come together to celebrate the wins, share the rubbish bits as well. And what we're seeing is real life friendships grow with the people who they all just started off with one thing in common. They wanted to change their relationship with alcohol. This might be you. But this community is also so much more than that. Of course, our focus is singing about sobriety, but as well, it's about focusing on the other stuff that happens once you make a decision to reassess your relationship with booze. We've got newly discovered cyclists, walkers, swimmers, knitters, bookworms, bird spotters. We've got budding artists, and we've got introverts who thought they were extroverts. We celebrate it all. Everybody is welcome. And our face-to-face Zooms are the perfect way to do this. Find out how you can sign up at overtheinfluence.co.uk.